Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Divi Nation. Divi Nation is a podcast and video show by Elegant Themes, the creators of Divi, the ultimate WordPress theme and visual page builder. Now, the goal of Divi Nation is really simple. We want to provide you with the knowledge, insights, and supportive community that you need to be successful with WordPress and Divi. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller. And as your host, it's my job to facilitate that success by having various guests from the Divi and wider WordPress community onto the show to share their stories and experiences with you. In this episode, I interview Jerry Simmons of Monterey Premier. Jerry is a very active community member, particularly in the Facebook groups, but he's also known to show up at WordCamps and meetups like the most recent one out in Orange County that a large number of Divi community members attended. Jerry's also one of my favorite types of community members. He's someone who came to WordPress and Divi from a completely different background. Jerry's a pastor by trade, and yet is now able, after a few crash courses, to work professionally in this field. He's also a Divi Nation first. He's the first person that we've ever had on the show who's not a freelancer or a founder of a third party, but a dedicated staff member of a third party Divi product creator or service provider. Something that I find really satisfying as it seems to be a really good indicator of community and perhaps even industry growth in and around Divi. So really exciting stuff. During our conversation, Jerry and I discuss why it is that he made his transition into WordPress and Divi work in the first place, what kind of skills and attributes have served him well, and some tips on how others who are interested in making WordPress and Divi their job do the same thing. All that and more in today's episode of Divi Nation. Here it is. Jerry, welcome to Divi Nation.
Well, thanks, Nathan. It is really an honor to be here with you.
I'm really glad you're on here, and I want to get it out of the way. I feel so embarrassed about that one incident we had out in, I think it was WordCamp, Orange County.
I wasn't going to bring that up.
I know you weren't. I know you weren't because you're such a nice guy, but I feel like I should say sorry in public. Because, well, here's the thing is I had been running around all weekend, and I thought for the life of me that everyone had been saying Gary all weekend long. And then we sit down at a table, and just to clue you guys in, this is the last time, I think this was the last time, maybe we've met in person once since then, I can't remember, but basically, we're sitting down at the table, and Jerry's sitting right next to me, and I say, hey, what's everybody doing? They're like, well, we're just talking with Jerry about this and that. I was like, who's Jerry? And everybody's like, oh, awkward, he's right beside you. And I was like, that's Gary. Anyway.
Yeah, That was a fun evening for sure.
Yeah, that was cool. That was out the at the big Airbnb with the ping pong table. I always love those events. I hope more people come out this year to the next one, which is going to be WordCamp US at Nashville. Are you coming out to that?
You know, I really want to. I'm watching everybody talk about it, and it's making me kind of desire it more and more. I wasn't planning on it, but you never know. I might kind of last minute just catch a flight and head over there.
Oh, that'd be cool. Just let everybody know where you're located out of and where you work out of now.
Well, I'm actually located here in Southern California, mm-hmm. and I work with Gino in Northern California, but everything's remote. So I'm here in the Riverside Corona area of Southern California, and usually nice and beautiful and sunny. Today it's a little overcast and gloomy, but still I love it here in Southern California, so that's where I am.
That's awesome. So a lot of times I like to preface or kind of kick things off with a day in the life of, but people might not understand your day in the life of. They don't know exactly what you do. So tell us kind of briefly what it is you do day in and day out as a job.
Okay. As a job, I do a couple things. Web stuff is my side job, even though it requires full-time hours. But my other job is I'm a pastor at a church here in California. And so that's what I do primarily, I would say.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I also, have jumped in now with Gino at Monterey Premier. And so there I'm the operations manager and deal with, a variety of responsibilities with the marketplace, with support requests, with web design work and development work. And so my days, I was kind of anticipating, what's a day in the life of Jerry look like. And man, there's so much variety and every day it's so different. It's really, sometimes, I might be in very intense counseling situations and then moment, I'm working on graphic design and, doing, some crazy PHP, JavaScript stuff, you know? So it's like, it's a huge range of stuff that I do on a regular basis.
Well, I think that's why I like this question. And I ask it every time it kind of makes sense to ask, I try to ask it. And I really wanted to ask it of you just because of that exact thing. Like, I knew that you were a pastor. I knew you had different responsibilities on an everyday basis. And I just thought, you know, how does someone in those shoes or in that position, how do they operate as a freelancer? Because I think, you know, the whole reason for the question is, you know, everybody has their own approach. And honestly, I've gotten slightly different answers from every single person I've ever asked it to. So it's kind of fun to kind of get that glimpse into what's working for somebody else, because I don't have people on the show who are like, I don't know what I'm doing. I've never, you know, I can't keep a client. I can't do that. So it's all people who are, you know, to one degree or another, rather successful at what they're doing, and they're making it work. So finding the different rhythms that people get into that are functional in life are always like, it's always really fascinating to me.
Yeah. And you know, it's really a perfect combination for me because I have a lot of flexibility with the church and my hours are whatever I say. And then, you know, doing the freelance website stuff, I have a lot of flexibility. And so even though, you know, my days are packed, there's still so much, you know, fluidity and things can change. And it gives me a lot of, you know, flexibility to focus on different things when the time is appropriate.
Well, that's very cool. So kind of give us a bit of backstory. How does a pastor become, you know, involved in web design and web development with Divi?
Well, it really began as a kid. I just, you know, my dad bought a 386 SX computer and started my love of technology. And so even though later on I became a pastor, I, you know, have a strong root, you know, in technology. Mm-hmm. For many years, I was technical support for a payroll software here in California. And so I did software support over the phone and on site, helping people with, you know, technical needs and, you know, dabbled in some programming and stuff as a teenager. And so, my first website, you know, was back, oh man, I want to say like 2000, straight HTML, incredibly horrific. I found it on the Wayback Machine a while back. And just flashing, you know, GIFs and all that pattern background, all that kind of stuff. And so, those were all just hobbies, just playing around, just having fun.
Yeah.
And, then I became a pastor, at this church here in California back in 2004. And so one of my first orders of business was to build us a website. And so, I got a Joomla installation going.
Oh.
And, went through a very painful 5 years.
Living adventurously, I see.
Yes. Yeah, man, that was, I mean, the end result in my mind was awesome, but boy, it was a painful journey to get to a really good functional website, you know, at that time. So, and then I kind of, you know, just maintained, you know, did some stuff on WordPress for the church and stuff like that. But I was really full-time at the church for about 10 years.
Oh, wow.
You know, seasons change. And so the church, you know, has gone through a season where I needed to have some external income to be able, you know, to make ends meet. And so, I just started looking around, and a friend of a friend knew Gino and connected us. And, through that, I kind of got back into, you know, doing some website work. You know, the church website was on Squarespace. And so when I first talked with Gino, he said, yeah, I work with WordPress. And I was like, oh man, I really don't like WordPress. Because my experience with WordPress previously was you go find one of those free themes that are horrible and you try to customize it. And then there's, you know, unending updates and all kinds of issues. And so he's like, no, this is what I use. You know, here, you know, I use Divi. And I was like, I never heard of that. So but I was interested in the opportunity. So I purchased Divi and just built a website just to kind of try it out. And it wasn't designed beautifully, but Gina was impressed enough to give me a chance. And and so, yeah, so that's how I kind of got back into it, is just, you know, him giving me an opportunity and giving me stuff to do and kind of teaching me along the way. And it's been a great journey.
That is so cool. Yeah, that's actually really similar to his story, where his hand was a little forced by circumstance to go, okay, what else can I do? And he started, you know, he just remembered his love for web design and kind of got back into doing things in a creative field again and use Divi as that tool. What I also like is that just this thing that I'm starting to see is some of these third-party Divi developers or service providers are getting big enough now that they're like hiring full staffs or at least getting to the point where, you know, they're bringing extra help on to just run their operations that are not other freelancers that they're sort of like networking or partnering with. They're actually hiring employees, which I love that. That's so cool. It's such a good sign of growth in the community.
Yeah, it is. It's a great part. It's great to be part of it. And it's been cool watching and, you know, being a part of the growth of Monterey Premier and just, you know, engaging with the Divi community. And I got to say, man, so coming from my experience with Joomla and trying to get things figured out and resolved and help and then, you know, just jumping into the Facebook groups and seeing the Divi community there, it's like, wow, what a difference, because it was like pulling teeth, you know, trying to get something out of the people who knew Joomla, and everything was, you know, just really difficult. But, you know, like Gino, I think he's really set a great model and example. Like, he's just so encouraging and helpful. Mm-hmm. And that was really my real introduction to Divi. Was he put me in charge of responding to comments on his tutorial site.
Oh, wow.
And that's how I learned CSS. That's how I learned everything about Divi that I know pretty much. It's just, you know, engaging with the people who were, you know, asking questions about the tutorials. And so to answer the question, I would have to go through the tutorial, you know, figure it out myself, see what's going on, and then be able to respond. And so I went through University of Divi, you know, through Kitos.co. It was great.
That's awesome. So yeah, we do that all the time, you know, ourselves on the blog, and that is such a learning experience. And it's satisfying and also maddening that sometimes answering like 10 comments can take like a day and a half, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Or one comment if it's a really tough question.
Yep. Yeah, some of the tutorials, I was like, please don't ask questions on this one,
because I don't want to figure it out.
I don't want to go through that.
So how long of that kind of crash course did you take before your role changed from, you know, like official, you know, blog monitor or comment monitor to kind of what you're doing now? And if you can, again, maybe you were telling me a bit before we started recording about that. So you were saying like there's certain types of clients that you work with now. Sorry, I don't want to like misrepresent.
Go ahead, tell my story.
Yeah, no, so you describe it, because I'm not really doing a good job.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, so you know, I did that for, I would say, probably about 3 or 4 months of like that was my primary responsibility. Yeah. That's what I focused on. But in the process, you know, everything's kind of, you know, a transition. So nothing's like a, you know, I stopped that and started this the next day. But you know, Gino kept just giving me other opportunities, and I would take those on. And so now I don't touch the blog at all, and I'm thankful for that. but yeah, so over you know, the process of time, I've been working with Gino now for about a year and a half. And I would say, you know, probably over that first 6 months was, you know, primarily training and just learning everything from scratch, because everything prior to that was just stuff I did for myself and for fun. And so then, you know, I began to take responsibility for support requests coming in through the marketplace on Monterey Premier. And so, you know, I was helping approve products that are being submitted for purchase and those kinds of things. Mm. And then as we, you know, kind of went into it a little bit further, I actually went up and visited Gino. And so being in the same room together, he, you know, took another chance on me and said, here's a full Photoshop design. Let's see if you can recreate that, you know, in Divi. And so that kind of started the process. And I did my first one, and it took, you know, 3 times longer than it should have.
like it always does. But,
first time. It opened up, though, just that opportunity. Yeah. And we've really discovered. So design is not my specialty. I'm not skilled or gifted or anything. And I, you know, I could spot bad design. I don't think it takes special talents to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
but yeah, trying to find and think of good design is not my gift. And so, now it's developed where I work alongside with Gino, and as we get new clients, clients that have a design already, and many of these are white label clients where they come with a full Photoshop design. Here's what we want. Sometimes it's just the homepage, or sometimes it's the full, you know, full website. And those are the ones that I usually am able to take on because, hey, if it can be built in Divi, I could build it in Divi for sure. And so, you know, I love our consistent white label relationships because they really challenge us. You know, they like try to test, you know, okay, let's not just do standard Divi, but what else can we do? Mm-hmm. And so they come up with real creative designs and gives us an opportunity to, even though I'm not creative in the design realm, I can be creative on the back end and come up with great solutions for a design.
That's awesome. So that's something that I think is one of the, I don't want to be careful of the word easy because it's not easy, but it's one of the most straightforward ways that someone can improve their use of Divi is simply to find a design that already exists that's better than what they could create on their own and just faithfully recreate it in Divi. Do your very best to actually just do exactly what you see on the other site, on your website, on your demo site, and do that like 15 times and you'll be pretty good at whatever it is you're trying to do at that point. That's one of the things that, you know, we've even on the content side of things at Elegant Themes started a, like a Pinterest board where we, among the content team, where we pin web designs that we think are really, really cool, like landing pages or product pages or sections. And then we just start recreating them in Divi and teach people how to do it. That's kind of like a new thing that we're trying out because there's so many, especially with the last couple feature updates, there's so many little things now that you can do just with the design tab, that you don't even need custom code for a lot of these really, advanced designs or advanced seeming designs. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, it has been pretty exciting to watch the developments of, you know, that side of the options and settings in Divi. Some of the things that have been around in tutorials, you know, for a long time are now being obsolete.
Well, it's so funny because we're, I think it's something like a week or every other week for a while now, we've had, you know, new features or some type of a refinement of an existing feature being released. And for being part of the group that's responsible for keeping the past tutorials up to date and past documentation up to date, we're like, oh no, every new tutorial or every new release that comes out, it's like everything we did last month is no longer relevant or something.
Yeah. Well, again, one of the reasons why I'm thankful to not be part of the tutorial blog anymore.
The backwards compatibility with for the tutorials, because they're still getting search engine traffic, you know, even if the code snippets or whatever don't work anymore. So yeah, that's definitely a big challenge, and I think it's something that a lot of people in the Divi community who have kind of made a name for themselves with their blogs, I'm sure it's a challenge for them too. Do you guys have any issues with keeping your I know you're not working on it anymore, but just in general keeping that content up to date?
Yeah, I would say it's something that we're definitely, you know, working on and focused on. You know, Gino has also put together a course, like an entry level, here's how to design a website from scratch with Divi. And so, you know, things are changing, you know, with the visual builder, and sometimes, you know, that layout changes. And so usually the overall technique is not, you know, that different, but screenshots have to be updated. And even when there's new options and settings in the modules, you know, the old CSS and that kind of stuff will still work.
Yeah.
Also. So, it hasn't been too bad, I would say, at this point.
Nice. That's cool. Yeah. We've had basically the same experience at the Elegant Themes blog. It's just, there's a pretty big, you know, archive to update. So it just keeps us busy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so one of the things I think is so cool about your position is this idea that, you're working on, like we had just mentioned, recreating these PSDs. Are there any like tricks of the trade that you've kind of picked up that you think are worth sharing when it comes to recreating designs? Like, how do you approach taking a PSD and converting it into a Divi layout?
Well, just as a person, I'm pretty systematic and analytical. So the first thing I do is I just spend a lot of time looking at the design itself before I even like touch anything or try to build anything. and I'll build myself an outline of the whole page and begin to think about already ahead of time, okay, this is going to be a section, this is going to be a row, you know, I do this with this, you know, kind of layout here, this will be a specialty section. And I start to like name each section and, you know, develop a strategy for approaching it. And then I go through, because one of the things I'm looking for is what are the consistent styles and elements. So if this kind of button is used only here, then I'm going to approach that differently than this style is going to be applied to every button, you know, on this page.
Yeah.
And so I try to like observe all of those consistencies before I get started so that I don't have to, you know, try to make it consistent or, you know, build it as if it everything's going to be like that and then find out later, oh, it was just one, you know, that needed to be of that style. So I think that's the first step that I take.
Yeah, so you take note of things that you think are going to be like global elements or global modules as well and during that process?
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes the font, you know, it's subtle, but the font size changes, you know, depending on. And so a graphic designer is not usually specifying this is an H2 tag. You know, they're just they're communicating that with, you know, the specific details of the design itself and with the image. And so that's what I'm trying to like, you know, get into their mind as far as this is what they intended. And so we always want button modules to have this kind of look, or, you know, this button module is unique and I want it to stand out. And so, recognizing that up front then helps me to build it in a way that makes sense. And so I don't end up with, you know, spaghetti weird code and, you know,
what are some of the things that come up consistently when converting from PSD to Divi that are problem points or tough, you know, tough challenges or things that can't be done?
I have yet to encounter something that can't be done.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Throw the gauntlet down, you know, challenge. I'll take a challenge. You know, I came from working with Squarespace on our church website, and 20 minutes working with Divi just was like, it changed my life, because things that I had been trying to do, so, and it was so difficult on Squarespace, I would just like, you know, things I wanted to do, and then just, you know, getting in there and I was so able to do those things so easily and effortlessly. And when there are, you know, some, I don't know if you would call them obstacles, but, you know, there's just, you know, things are structured a certain way. And so when you want to go outside of that structure, there's easy ways to do that in Divi. Yeah. And so, you know, learning, some of the tricks in CSS and, you know, I'm a kind of a coder myself, so I like to, you know, jump into the code more than the module settings, but that's just a personal preference.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, it was just amazing. It was like, there's no, you know, there's nothing that we can't do. It's like the sky's the limit and we could create whatever we want.
Well, that's really cool. You said you guys have people pushing you guys on non-standard Divi websites, which usually just means like heavy modifications to the header. And or footer. What kind of stuff have you come up with in order to achieve those? Are those just like standard like PHP templates that you guys have created, or do you have some other way of doing it?
Well, we use the technique. It's pretty well known at this point, using a module or a layout from the Divi library, and then inserting that into the footer and header.
Oh yeah.
So that's one way that we approach it. We do sometimes, you know, some other template, you know, modifications and such. But for the most part, most of what I do is just in the style sheet.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm able to, you know, just, like I said, it's a blank canvas. I haven't found anything that we haven't been able to figure out a way to accomplish it. And so, usually, you know, so the style and, you know, overlapping, you know, different parts and, you know, designers can become very creative as far as this angle's here and this pattern's here and this has to overlap, but that's transparent. And, you know, there's like all these layers.
Yeah.
And I love a good challenge like that. It gets me excited.
Yeah, I can relate. I mean, I enjoy design. I like to think that if given the chance, I'm probably, you know, above an average, you know, in the design department. But I gotta say, especially if you just are on a deadline or if, you know, you're trying to go above your current level of skill or push yourself, having someone else's design to work from and recreate in Divi allows you to think creatively about settings and code, whereas, you know, you're not splitting that creative energy between two different realms, so to speak, between the purely aesthetic and, okay, now problem solving, what can be done or how can that be achieved? It's definitely two different realms, even though it's all baked into one tool essentially with Divi. So I think for me, I can kind of relate to what you're talking about with this idea of just playfulness and fun that you can get from the challenge of someone giving you a design and going, all right, time to build this thing, because you know that it's possible and it's just a matter of getting there. I'm sure it's kind of freeing and fun in that way.
Yeah, so we had one white label project that was basically the whole header was like a scene out of Alice in Wonderland.
Whoa.
And yeah, so there was, you know, things that were animating, and the menu was basically like a signpost with all these arrows in different ways. And that was one of the most fun projects I've ever worked on, because, I mean, it was also hideous in a lot of ways, because I would never want anybody to have to use this website.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of a dichotomy that takes place there, right? Because it's like sometimes, you know, you're recreating designs that you're not that excited about.
Yeah.
But just making it work and you know, getting the client what they asked for, whether or not you agreed with them. But yeah, just that whole, you know, scene and having the different elements and different pieces. And then, you know, then the fun part is adjusting it for all the various screen sizes. Mm-hmm. And that kind of thing. And so there was like, man, that was complex layers. And it was funny because we did all this work. We got it working, you know, like incredibly well. And then at the very end, the client said, I don't know if this is such a good idea to have on every page of the website. We're like,
yeah, no kidding.
That's what we could say. So they went back to a standard Divi menu.
No way. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's so funny. So, but I mean, at least now you can say you did it. You should have asked them if you could at least create some type of a portfolio item or a tutorial out of it.
Yeah, it was a fun project, and I definitely have a backup copy that I can refer back to when I need to.
That's awesome. That's really cool. So something you mentioned earlier, we've kind of been talking about this whole time in a way, is just this idea that, you know, some of our third party service providers and product creators are getting big enough to hire staff members like yourself. What tips might you have for someone in the community who is interested in getting into web design, using WordPress professionally, kind of making a career out of it, as far as building relationships with those types of people who are a bit more established in the community or a little bit further down their journey, who can provide work for them?
Wow, that's kind of a tough question.
No Gino, basically?
Yeah, and it's, you know, for me, I recognize that God just worked out this relationship, mm-hmm. because Gino and I we work so well together because we're so different, and he is so design centric and creative on a whole different, you know, arena than I am. And then I'm able to come up on the back end and, you know, fill in the areas on the back end and clean up the code and, you know, do that kind of stuff. And so, it wasn't through some great strategy that I had. And so it was, you know, through our friend that knew us both and connected us. And Gino's such a great guy. You know, he loves to give people chances.
Yes, definitely.
But at the same time, so now in my role as the, you know, operations and receiving all the incoming messages for Monterey Premier, man, we get tons of requests for a variety of things. And I mean, it's a chore just to kind of like try to discern, you know how it is, you know, there's legitimate, you know, real requests and, you know, genuine people who would be great perhaps and would love to, you know, be involved. And then there's just all kinds of nonsense, you know, that people are throwing out. And so, yeah, I would say, you know, so offering tips, I guess, I would say be genuine first of all, and, you know, try to lay aside, you know, the agenda as much as you're, you know, ambitious and, you know, you want things and you need money right away. And, you know, but just first of all, try to be genuine. And I think that's the quality that we would start with, you know, to really go beyond the initial, you know, here's a request out of hundreds of requests that we get. You know, how do we pick and choose who we interact with? You know, we just can't can't interact with them all. So I would start with being genuine.
So yeah, just so to kind of riff on that with my experience as well is, you know, in general, I know some people's hands are forced, but typically as soon as someone realizes that their hand is going to be forced, they're still sort of like, most cases, unless things are really bad, some type of a grace period in which they have like a month or two to work or a couple months to work, or even more in some to try to figure out what that next move is going to be. And so like, I would always recommend like not trying to make these types of moves when you're feeling desperate. Always make them when you're feeling like when you're genuinely engaged, when you're interested in what's going on, and when you can behave not like someone who just really needs that next, you know, gig, but someone who is generous with their time, generous with their input, with their advice, with their troubleshooting on the Facebook groups or whatever. And maybe even above that, but not necessarily, someone who has, you know, some type of a portfolio, some type of work that they can say, here's stuff that I've already done. And, you know, if you want me to do that for you, then I'd be happy to do it. And what I've seen, and maybe you can speak to this, is that everybody who's doing work in Divi consistently, they're doing a lot of work and they need all the help they can get. So it's if you're the right fit, if you have the right skills and you're the right type of person, like personality fit, like you kind of like sync up with certain people in the community who have excess work to give, that's probably the best way to do it, is just to be available to them and be someone that they can depend on. Does that match your experience as well?
Yeah, I would say that. And that's kind of what I'm getting at with the word genuine is, you know, it's hard to find people that you can trust. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to be involving someone in your work, you know, there's potential for, you know, them to drop the ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not good. There's potential for them to try to, you know, get things for themselves instead of for, you know what I mean? And there's these, you know, just the trust is so hard. And so that's where the genuineness becomes so key, is, you know, to really, you know, offer yourself as a valuable member of the community and be someone that is, you know, has a good track record and is trustworthy. And that is really a strong thing that we would be looking for.
Yeah. So I'm always like, I'm always really conscious of like the people who are watching or listening to the podcast, because I think a lot of them are, people who are in the community who are looking for basically more help with Divi, but more so now than when the podcast first started. I feel like the people who are watching are people who are kind of like Divi insiders almost, or people who want to be Divi insiders, as people working within the industry of Divi as it's starting to grow. And so I want to always be aware of the people who are just getting into that and going like, okay, I want to get in here. I want this to be my job. I want this to be my world every day. How do I do that? And so I love, you know, your story and all the other stories that we've had, because there's just 100 different avenues into that world. And, almost all of them though, do have some of these things in common that we just highlighted, which is, you know, like engage in the community first. Like, don't just like pop out of nowhere and be like, hire me. You know, I'm awesome. Instead, it's like, you know, get on the Facebook groups, get in someone's blog, solve someone's problem, be useful to them before you're asking anything of anybody. And that goes a long way. And then when you are given something, just do it. Like, be really trustworthy and be really dependable. I would say on the content side of things with Elegant Themes, dependable is probably like my number, you know, after knowledge of WordPress and knowledge of Divi. If you just show up and do stuff when you say you're going to do it, you're probably going to get asked to do more work, you know?
Yeah. I can definitely relate to that. That is dependability is something that is really important to me. So I definitely try to be dependable to our clients as well.
Yeah.
You know, another thing I was thinking of, as far as, you know, getting involved and, you know, looking for new opportunities. One thing that happened, and the timing was just perfect, was I just barely started working, you know, with Monterey Premier and Gino. And that's when the first meetup for Divi happened in Orange County at the Orange County WordCamp. And so I'd only been working, you know, with Gino for about 3 weeks, but that's right here in my neighborhood. So I went down and got to meet, you know, everybody. And I would say that that has played a big part as well. And just, you know, showing up and getting to know people and having a little bit of those relationships built, you know, it definitely adds to the credibility and
totally
trustworthiness of someone you want to work with.
That is a great point, because I mean, it's easy to engage online, but as soon as you engage someone in person, you have to physically shake their hand and share a meal or a coffee or whatever, at a conversation or two. And that goes such a long way to cementing you in their brain, so that when they're looking for help, if you're, you know, present, even amongst all the other people looking to get hired and they're present, you know, online, you're going to stand out because, you know, you shook their hand. You have shared experiences now. Like, that's, it's a very intangible thing, but I know you can relay. It's very real. It's not like a thing that people go, oh yeah, meet in person, it helps. It's like, it really does help. It's a real thing.
Yeah, it definitely does. And even though in person, I may not be, I'm probably more lively on video than I am in person. Usually I just have a laptop in my lap and I'm, you know, working on code. But you know, just being there and being around, it really does, you know, make an impact both for you and for the people around you.
Yeah, 100% agree. Well, hey, we're, believe it or not, knocking on 40 minutes for our interview. And I think we kind of hit a great moment of like a takeaway with those kind of tips on how to engage, especially if you're a beginner, and how to make yourself available to those who want to hire more help in the Divi community. So I'm hoping that the end result of this interview is that someone out there is looking for a gig in the Divi economy, in the Divi industry, and because of those tips, they kind of feel like they're empowered to do so. And with that, I just want to say thank you once again, Jerry, not Gary, for coming on the show.
Well, you're welcome, Derek. It's been really a pleasure.
All right. Well, I will see you around the community. And again, really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Look forward to seeing you again.
Well, that's all for this episode of Divi Nation. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I just want to give another big thank you to our guest, Jerry Simmons, for coming on the show. If you have any questions about what we discussed in today's episode, please feel free to leave them in the comments section on the Elegant Themes blog, and we will be sure to respond. Thanks again for tuning in. I look forward to seeing you all around the community. And as always, we'll be back right here next week with another episode of Divi Nation.